You know, the best times that I have is when I'm talking about the Word. In other words, when I'm talking about Jesus. You see? Psalms 116:12 says, you know, how can I repay the Lord for all His many benefits?
Yeah.
How can I repay the Lord for all His many benefits? It is amazing. You know, we really can't. I mean, every time we figure something out, He just blows our mind. I don't know about you. Does He do that to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, you know, tonight, I have some friends with me today. I don't really call them friends. I call them family. You know, they're a part of my team. And team means that we together experience a ministry out there in the food bank. And I'll tell you, they are God's gift to me. And I was telling them yesterday, you know, that when I'm with them, you know, I feel safe. When I'm with them, I feel that I am surrounded by love. When I'm with them, I know that God really loves me because He has sent His special emissaries to gather around me and do with me what I have been called to do. You know, they won't even let me lift anything. They always are, you know, correcting me. Oh, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. And, you know, I love that when they say that, you know, because I know that they really care. Isn't it true? It's true. I mean, last week I was back there and I was hiding. I figured I can do something now. And all of a sudden I dropped the box. And here comes Sarah. What are you doing? Get out, get out, get out. You can't do that. You see? It's God's love being manifested for us. You know? It's great. It's great to be in the house. You know, and the good thing about it is that when we come and we come with expectancy, we don't know what He's going to do. You know, when I came in, I was expected, you know, and because I came with expectancy, I believe I've received a great portion of God's wealth to me. Because, you know, I have a bad back and my back always hurts, you know, but as I, like I was saying, as I was standing there, you know, all of a sudden, I felt like I was at the chiropractor. Things started to move, you know, fall into place, you know. And all of a sudden, I felt this heat,
hallelujah.
You know. And I knew that God was present. Because now, I feel a fresh wind.
Awesome.
You know. All that uneasiness is gone. I feel like I'm 6 feet tall, although I'm only 5 feet seven. Well, wow. What a God. Who lives? Can you tell me who lives? Who lives?
Jesus.
Who lives?
Jesus.
Who heals?
Jesus.
Who's here?
Jesus.
Oh, that was weak. That was weak. Yeah. Let's try it again. Who lives?
Jesus.
Who heals?
Jesus.
Who's here?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, where would we be without Jesus?
You know? Lost.
Oh, totally lost. Take your Bibles. Raise them high. See, mine is really used. See, it's all dirty and everything. It's a Bible that's being used. Say with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It contains the Word of God.
It contains the Word of God.
It says who I am.
It says who I am.
And who I will be.
And who I will be.
There are many like it.
There are many like it.
But this one is mine.
This one is mine.
And today.
And today.
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 When I believe.
When I believe.
What it says.
What it says.
I will be.
I will be.
What it says.
What it says.
That I am.
That I am.
That's so true, you see. It's all about the Bible, you know. As we were praising the Lord, you know, the passage of Scripture that came to me often throughout the worship was Zechariah 4:6, because it, you know, although it was not put out there that way, it was exactly what was being said. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, it's all about the Spirit. It's all about God. God in us, for us, through us, about us. You know, and yesterday I was talking to my team and I was telling them, you know, we're in a bubble. A bubble of God's protection. A bubble of God's blessing. A bubble created by the power of God that nurtures us and grows us and does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And all, it's all because He truly loves us. You know, Scripture tells us there in 2 Peter 3:12, He says that the eyes of the Lord are upon us and His ears are attentive to our prayers. You know? And in chapter 5, verse 6, he says there very clearly, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that at the right time, at the right moment, at the appropriate time and place, He would lift us up. Then He challenges us and says, cast your cares before me, for I truly care for you. You know, God truly cares for us. You know, see, our God has eyes that see, and ears that hear, mouth that speaks, hands that... He lets us know, atta boy, atta girl, you know, I'm with you, you are not alone, we can go places, tag along. Why is that? Well, John 3:8 says that the wind blows, no one knows where it's coming, no one knows where it's going, as such are those that are guided by the Spirit. What a ride if we hang on to His coattails.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take us places that we've never seen or never thought possible. But you see, it's all because He wants to share the adventure with us. I don't know if you thought about it that way, but I believe that, you know, God really doesn't need us. He really doesn't need us. But He wants to share the adventure with us. And as He does, great things will begin to happen. You know, when I was growing up, I remember, Superman, who could change the course of mighty rivers. Ben Steele with his... God can do it all.
Yeah.
God can do it all. You see? And that's what we're here. Last week might have been a good week, but today, the first day of the week, what are we doing? We are getting ready for the rest of the week. We spent ourselves last week, and it could have been good, could have been bad, could have been indifferent, but today is a new day, a new week, a new chapter. You see, for I'm here to tell you that there's a place in our walk with God where we can dwell continually in His presence and be literally surrounded by His blessings and His protection. You see, when we as believers are living in that supernatural blessing, people can't help but notice. I mean, do you think that they don't know where you left the house for today? They know you were coming here. You know? And at the appropriate time, they're going to come to you. And you're going to be ready. See, Psalms 92, verses 12 and 15 says that the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. Isn't that pretty cool? The Lord is upright and faithful to His promises. Let's pray. Father, bless Your word. Bless Your people. Bless Your people, Lord, as they receive Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about a bubble. See, I really believe that we live in a bubble. You know, last week also, there was something that took place out there while we were at the food bank. And Mark, who's not here today, says, come on out, look at it. And we looked up, and there was a sun, and there was a circle around the sun, and a circle around that circle. And I said, that's the bubble. That's the bubble. You see, something supernatural was taking place. You know, I don't know yet what it is, but I know that something's coming. I know that something's coming. See, Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? I am bringing rivers to the desert. Life is coming." What life? Abundant life. Jesus is coming. And He's coming for His children. He's coming for His little ones. He's coming for you and me. Yeah. You know, we think we're grown, but the truth of the matter, we're not grown at all. Bible says that a day is like a thousand, and a thousand like one day. You know? So, that means if one day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years like one day, and a day has 24 hours in it, you know, and in an hour there's 60 minutes, and in a minute there's 60 seconds, that means I'm about, maybe about a minute and 42 seconds. I don't even qualify for Huggies. You don't qualify for Huggies. It's coming for the little ones, you know. He's coming for you. He's coming for me. See, because we are living in a bubble. We have a bubble of protection and blessing over us. It's a bubble that's been created by the power of God. We live in a bubble of prosperity. You may not be aware of that, but you're prosperous. You have something that the world wants, but can't have until they come in. You see, we live in a bubble of health. In our bubble, we are able to live the full number of our days. I know that God is in me. I know that God is on me, and that He's here to help me. And I know that angels travel with me. Beloved, it's so wonderful to have such an assurance of protection and blessing. See, Deuteronomy 28, verses 9 and verse 10, the Amplified Bible says, "The Lord will establish you as people holy to Himself." People holy to Himself. If you keep His commandments, right, and walk in His ways. Then it goes on to say that all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name and in the presence of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Can you believe that? I mean, as born again children of God, we all should be living in that bubble. As believers, we walk in the truth. We should be walking in the truth. Of course, that's the scripture that we just read, says there are conditions. There are conditions to living in that bubble. You see, abiding in a continual place of blessing and living a prosperous life means living a life of obedience to God. It means walking God's way or walking in truth. In 3 John verse 2 to 4, it says, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. You see, God has no greater joy than to know that we are walking in His truth. Now, we do not grow up automatically knowing truth. Most of us grow up being taught tradition, reasoning, the world's way of thinking. We have to go to the Bible to find truth. In the Lord's Prayer, and it's not in Matthew 6, it's in John 17, 17. That's when the Lord prayed to the Father. And He said, Father, sanctify them in Thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, He was saying, we need to get into the Word. We need to know the Word. We need to do what the Word tells us. Who's the Word?
Jesus.
See, Jesus is continuously talking to us. However, are we listening? Are we listening? See, spending time with God, spending time in His Word, will teach us how to be obedient, how to walk in truth. Jesus told His disciples to continue in the Word. In John chapter 8, verse 32, Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, God has given us clear instructions in black and white, you see, that will bring freedom and blessings to our lives. This verse of Scripture is telling us to spend time in the Word so that we may come to know what God has said. And then do it. The Apostle James, in chapter 1, in verse 22, he says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, we can't just, you know, choose and pick. Either we take it all or take none. You see, God is offering us the full meal deal. I mean, everything is there. He has not cut back anything. He has poured it out there for us. All we have to do is take possession. Take possession. Take possession. You see? But what happens is that when things begin to happen around us, just like there's 12 months in the year, there are 12 giants out there that come and try to rob us of our peace, of our joy. And they keep showing up at different times and different intervals in our lives. And of course, you know what they are. The giant of fear. The giant of discouragement. The giant of worry. The giant of loneliness. The giant of guilt. The giant of anger. The giant of resentment. The giant of doubt. The giant of procrastination. The giant of worry. The giant of jealousy. All these giants are present to rob us. But if we go to the Word, we will find peace. We will find joy. We will find happiness. Why is that? The Word tells us there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faith, goodness, long-suffering, temperance, and meekness. And then it goes on to tell us that against such there is no law. In other words, nothing can rise up against you if the fruit of the Spirit is in you, for you, through you. God has said He has never left us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us till the very end. So why? Why do we doubt? Why do we fear? Why do we go through these changes in life? You know? The Bible teaches us that if we fear, we're disobeying God. As believers, that's how come I say we have to live in that bubble. A bubble of God's protection. A bubble of blessing. A bubble created by the power of God for you and for me. See, there are a lot of Christians out there that are deceived. Many Christians are deceived. They hear and they think, oh well, I'll go to church on Sunday and then I'll live however I want to the rest of the week. And yeah, all right. It's all right. I'll be okay. I'm here to tell you that won't work. That will not work. For in order for people to be free, they must know the truth and they must obey the truth. See, we won't get very far with God without doing the things the way He said. See, it's important to understand that financial prosperity is not tied to the financial part of our lives. It's a misconception. By that I mean that our prosperity is not determined solely by our giving or by the way we operate financially. See, true prosperity is tied to what we do in every area of our life. It is tied to the right moral character and conduct. See, it's not about the dollar. It's about God. See, we try to live from the outside in. But who's on the inside? God is in there. So we need to live from the inside out. God wants us to live from the inside out. When I was born again, when you were born again, when we were born again, we became a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what is this telling us? It's telling us that our old sin nature is gone forever. Did you get that? It's gone forever. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us. And we are made righteous. We are the righteousness of God. God has given us every spiritual gift. However, see, it's like everything. There's always a but. But we still live in a natural body. And initially, that new body is just as untrained and undisciplined as the previous body. So what must we do? Our flesh needs to be trained. Our flesh needs to be disciplined by the Word of God. We as individuals, as believers, as Christians, as the church of Jesus Christ, we must learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit by the Word of God and tell our body at those times, no, you can't do that. Huh? No, you just can't do that. Now, the question is, who makes that decision? You do. See? The born-again spirit in you, working for you. It's there. It's that part of you that is connected to God. And it's the real you. See, not that other whatever. It's the real you. And that's where dominion and authority are. See, that part of you that has been made the righteousness of God. For your job after being born again is to learn how to live from the inside out. Your born again spirit man ought to have dominion over your soul and your body. Did you understand that? That inner man has to have control. Dominion, in other words, supreme authority over your soul, over your body. You have to learn to stand against the devil and not allow him to bully you. See, you know, that's what he does. He just bullies you. See, you have to learn not to be persuaded by wrong people or the circumstances of life. You need to find out what belongs to you in Christ Jesus and begin to renew your mind with the truth of the Word. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, no longer conforming to this world nor to the things of this world, but renewing our mind that we may test and prove the good, the acceptable, the perfect will of God. Amen. You see, and when you find out what is yours and you begin to renew that mind, you will soon realize that you are beginning to prosper. God is doing a work in you. You see, in John, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know, and he talks to us about being branches. You know? And if you have fruit trees in your home or you've observed fruit trees, you know that there comes a season when the husbandman goes out there. And what does he do? He cuts those branches back. Because if they continue to grow, the fruit would not be any good. But he cuts it back so that we can get good fruit, healthy fruit, fruit that is worthy of being of the seeds being replanted so that we can have more fruit. I love fruit. We've been getting a lot of fruit lately, haven't we? You see, Scripture tells us that you prosper as your soul prospers. That's what 3 John 2 says. You prosper in healing as your soul prospers in understanding about healing from the Word of God. You prosper when you understand about God's financial system and you begin to conduct yourself and your affairs in agreement with His direction. I tell people, you know why I prosper? First of all, because I don't know what I'm doing. Sarah, And Luke could tell you, I say that all the time. I really don't know what I'm doing. I do what He says for me to do. I say what He tells me to say. I go where He tells me to go. And you know, every time I go there, the first thing that they tell me, well, Frank, this is a one-time occasion. And I thank them for it. And I begin to witness about what God has been doing and what God has done and how many people are being blessed by their gifts. And that the truth of the matter is that I'm there because what they have is already mine.
Huh? Amen.
What the Scripture tells us, the wealth of those out there are mine. And if it's mine, I want it, so I come to collect. And you know what happens? By the end of our little time there, they say, well, Frank, why don't you come again? I said, well, when can I come? He says, well, you could come. Forget it, just come every week. You see? God is a God that opens doors. God is a God that will prosper us. But we must first believe. You know, I tell people all the time, I don't worry because I'm not in charge. And when I'm in charge, I don't worry because I have the reins. I'm in control. So I don't need to worry. And I don't have to be in a hurry. So what am I saying? I'm saying that knowing the truth is what prospers your spirit, soul, body, your finances, and every facet of your life. You will prosper because of Him who is with you, for you, and working on your behalf.
Amen.
You see, believing and stepping out on the truth, believing and stepping out in the Word will bring provision to you and to your family. Scripture calls that faith. What a concept, huh? Faith. Trusting in God, believing in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. See, faith is what connects you to the supernatural. Faith connects you to the anointing of God that can make you whole and complete in every area of your life. So what must we do? We must feed on the Word. We must feed on the Word. To have faith and stay strong in faith, we need a fresh supply of the Word on a regular basis. The author of Hebrews says that we are not to forsake the gathering of the saints. Why is that? Because that's where we come to receive the Word. You see? And the Word is our life source. See, the Bible is a supernatural book that is infused with power by the Holy Spirit. This, you see? So again, what do we see? We see that Zechariah 4:6, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. See, it's the Spirit that gets us going. Philippians 1:6 says, He who began the good work in you will continue to do so until the day of Christ. So who began the good work? The Spirit! Because the Spirit took us to Jesus.
Yes.
And Jesus will take us to the Father.
Yeah.
Without the Spirit, we would have never known Jesus. And without Jesus, we will never get to see the Father. See, we're in good hands. We're in the Father's hands. We're in His care. He watches over us. He cares for us. He does for us. So what must we do? We need to know the Word. John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And I say, and the Word is God. And in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. In other words, Jesus left the throne. And he came here, not as a man, but as a child, so that he would experience everything that you and I could possibly go through. You see? Jesus laughed, Jesus wept, Jesus danced. I mean, Jesus was hungry, and he got upset about that. You know? Talk to the fig tree. You know, actually what it was, what happened there was that he said, I will not accept deception. Because you see, when the fig tree flourishes, the leaves are shiny. And it's indication that the fruit is ready for the picking. And so as he saw the fig tree looking good, looking ripe, looking ready, he went over there and there was no fruit. It was a deception. God will not accept deception. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, a man shall reap. You know? Don't go out there and try to deceive him. Because he knows. And buddy, does he know. He knows us from every walk, from every talk. See, when we take the Word in through our eyes or in through our ears and the truth gets into our heart, it becomes a force inside of us. Then we can speak words with our mouths that will bring deliverance, not only to ourselves, but to others. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. So you see, it's the Word that will take us to the place where God wants us. We have not because we ask not. And when we ask, we don't know how to ask. You know? But when we know the Word, we line ourselves up with the Word, and the Word opens doors. See, if you don't feed your spirit with the Word, and you get too busy to pay attention to God, you will become weak. Your strength, the strength of your spirit will begin to dwindle, just as the strength of your physical body diminishes when you don't feed it. And the change could be so gradual that you won't really notice it until it's too late. You won't really notice it, and then you'll become deceived into thinking that you're all right. But you're not. See, however, if you continue to starve your spirit, one day you'll wake up and you'll find that you've become a spiritual skeleton. You'll wonder, how did this happen? You'll say something like this, But I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. How can my life be in such a bad shape? Well, I'm here to tell you that Christians have to do more than just breathe to stay free. See, we will not be able to enjoy good health. We will not be able to live prosperously. We will not be able to stay in peace. We will not be able to do anything unless we spend time with God and His Word and walk in the truth. If you desire to see a change in your life, get busy in the Word. Find out what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Feed your spirit God's Word. It will put meat on your spirit man. It will change you and it will empower you. So what must we do? We are in this world, but we're not of this world. That's the biggest clue that we have. So we must separate ourselves. Huh? Ever thought about that? You know, when I was in the service, I was one of those ground pounders, you know. Seize and hold terrain. Kill, maim, destroy. You know, take everything, give nothing. And when I came to the Lord, you know, I became a dangerous man because I was no longer trustworthy. Can you believe that? What trash the world puts out, you know? They said, this guy's on Fruit Loops, you know? He's changed. Well, of course, you know, when Christ comes in, you change. Things begin to happen. You don't walk the way you walked before. You don't go to the places you used to go before. You don't say the things that you said before. You don't do the things that you did before. Why? Because now you fear the Lord. And it's not a bad fear. When we say fear, we fear the Lord is that we will be conscious of the things that we do in order not to hurt the one that loves us. You know, when somebody loves you, you're very careful not to hurt that person also. Because you know that there's no reason for them to love you. And no one has to do anything for you. And if they do, they do it out of love. And you know, I tell that to my team every week. I love you loving me. And I tell it to them all the time because I want them to know that. I want them to know that God is at work in their lives. I want them to know that they will prosper as their soul prospers. I want them to know that they can call out to God and that God will answer them because He has promised to do so. You know? And I tell them to ask and be expected. You know? And you know, I do that all the time. And when I do it, it comes in. Why? First of all, because I believe it. Second, because I expect it. Third, because I demand it. Why? How can I demand? Because I've made a deposit. When you've made a deposit in the bank, can you not make a withdrawal? Of course you can. So I've made a deposit, now I'm making a withdrawal. And He shows up. Because it's a principle. He will do for me what needs to be done. See, when you reverence God, when you honor God enough to obey Him, you are operating in the fear of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 111 and verse 10, and in Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord It speaks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is supreme. In all you're getting, get understanding. See, God has given us everything. But if we don't know about it, if we don't understand what we have, it's like having nothing. So we need to get understanding. Because wisdom is supreme. You know? And if it's supreme, it means that it has supernatural powers with it. You can take it to the bank because there's money there. You know? You can open doors with your mere presence. You know, when I came to the Lord and I was one of those gung-ho soldiers. When I came to the Lord, I was a gung-ho Christian. I was bold. I would tell them, you know, the reason why we're prospering here? Because I'm here, buddy. And when I leave, forget it. It's not going to happen anymore. You know? They would look at me and say, oh God, here he goes again. You know? And it was true. We would prosper. We would prosper, continuously prosper. We would have prosperity at every turn. Why was that? Because I believed for that. You know? God will do for you anything you want. You know? I mean, I go all the time to the store and I spend what I don't have. Because I know I'll have it by the time I need to pay it. That's called life. In Jesus, real life, good life, prosperous life. You see, wisdom is what will bring true riches into your life. True riches. Another element in honoring God is willing to lay aside the things that can separate you from Him. Things that can open the door to darkness. To prosper in God, you must be mindful of where you go, what you do, and what you say. So stay in the light. Jesus is in the light. In fact, He said, I am the light of the world. And then He transferred it over to us and said, you are the light of the world. See, the world's eyes are upon us. They're watching to see what we will say, what we will do, where we will go. And when the time comes, they will run to you. They will ask you, and you'll be prepared. See, to prosper in God, you must stay in the light. And one of the commands that God has given us is to be holy. To be separate unto Him. In 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6, in verses 14 through verse 18, in chapter 7 and verse 1, the Word goes on to say, but be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Baal? Or what path has he that believes with the infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And then it tells us, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate, says the Lord. And then He says, do not touch that which is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. And then he qualifies it again, says the Lord Almighty. Who's talking to us? Jesus is talking to us. God is talking to us. He's telling us what he is willing to do for us if we just listen and obey. Then he says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That's chapter 7 and verse 1. You see, in Luke 6, in verse 47, Jesus says that he who comes to him and hears his words, his sayings, and doeth them, he says, he sees them as wise. He sees them as those that build their house upon the rock, where the wind will blow and the rivers will rise and that house will not fall. He's talking about this house, this body. You see? We will not fall. We will stand firm. 1 Peter says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And the violent, another version says, and the valiant. Violent, violent, valiant, you know? Take possession. Why violent? You see, because a violent person will not give up. They will stand their ground. They will not retreat. They will advance. You know? And if you're always moving forward, let me tell you, that other guy has to be retreating. Amen. James puts it this way. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Mm-hmm. You see? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In other words, he will do for you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call out to me, and I shall answer thee. And I will show thee great and mighty things that you know nothing of, that you have no clue. So, you know, we need to shout out to him. We need to let him know. But no, we can't do that. You know, he's God, and you know, who am I? Well, you know, he's telling us to do it. Why not? I mean, if you tell me, Frank, it's yours, buddy, expect for me to go pick it up because it's mine. I will go for it. You know, it's yours. God is telling us to do it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to renew our mind with the Word. We need to depart from the things in our life that is not pleasing to God. We need to choose to walk in godliness, in purity, in power, and in prosperity, that we may be able to experience days of heaven here on earth. Did you know that? It is so possible for us to experience days of heaven here on earth. Yeah. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. We could practice that right here. I mean, we just did about a half an hour ago, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so powerful, you know? I mean, you know, God was speaking to us. He was cutting away all those hindrances to set us free. But you've heard it. You already heard it. Don't go back. There's no turning back. There's no reason to turn back. You see? So what am I saying? What is the Word telling us today? It's telling us to spend time with God. Spend time in His Word, and He will give us wisdom. He will show us the path and the plan that He has for our lives. It is a path that leads to prosperity. The psalmist said it this way in Psalms 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. See, it's the word that takes us to the light, because He is the light. Wow. Ooh. I don't know about you, but this is getting pretty good to me. Yes. See, Psalms 25, the Living Bible, promises in verse 10, in verse 12 and 13, that when we obey Him, every path He guides us on a fragrant of His loving kindness. It is a fragrance of His loving kindness and His truth. And then he says, Where is the man who fears the Lord? God will teach him how to choose the best. He shall live within God's circle of blessing. See, when you walk in the obedient path, God encloses you. That circle is around you at all times when you are walking in the truth. You are in a bubble of God's blessing, a bubble of God's protection, a bubble created by the power of God specifically and specially for you. See? When that happens, you're like Teflon. Nothing can stick to you. Come on. You know, nothing can, in essence of God, nothing can touch you. Because it cannot find you. You're in that inner circle. You're in the bubble. It's a good place to be. It is a real good place to be. You see, that's why Psalms 91 says, the plague may come, but it won't come near you. Did you hear that? The plague may come, but it won't come near you. Say it with me. The plague may come, but it won't come near me. The plague may come, but it won't come near me. One more time. The plague may come, but it won't come near me. Woo! Let me tell you, God has you covered.
Thank you, God.
God has you covered. See, that circle of blessing is your refuge. When you live your life in that circle, when you have separated yourself unto God, you will find that you will be separated from danger. You'll be separate from accidents. You will be separate from every bad thing that is happening around the world. You see, Psalms 91, verses 7 through 10, the Amplified Bible says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be. Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor plague or calamity come near your tent. You see that? See, when I think of tent, I think about it in two ways. First, I think of a tent as being the home that I live in. Second, I also think of the tent as this body. Now, when we separate ourselves unto God, He then becomes our tent. He then becomes our covering. He overshadows us. He encircles us with himself. He protects us so thoroughly that even in the midst of a fierce battle, even in the midst of calamity, nothing can come near us. Wow. That's our God. What a God. Let me tell you, what a God.
Yeah.
See, Psalms 27 in verse 5, again, the Amplified Bible speaks out to us in such a beautiful way. It says, "For in the day of trouble, he will hide me in his shelter. In the secret place of his tent will he hide me." See, we can't be found. We're in his hands. And he's covered us. Woo! Yeah. Nothing can find us because nothing can touch us.
Yeah.
You see, even in extreme situations, we can expect to be blessed. We can expect to be protected, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, where the furnace was heated up 7 times hotter than usual. But when they came out, not a hair on their head was singed. Why? I'll tell you why. They were in a cocoon of God's protection. They were in a bubble created by the power of God. See? Because they walked in truth and they refused to bow down to the ungodly. Kneel! No. Kneel! No. Kneel! No! Can you buy into that? You know? I mean, did they know who was with them? Yes, they did. It says, because, hey, look, even if you put us in there, we're still not going to kneel. We're not going to buy into your garbage. You see? What am I saying? I'm saying that over and over in Scripture, we see God encircling his obedient people. In the Tehillim, Psalms 91 and verse 4 says, "With his pinions he will cover you, and beneath his wings you will be protected." See, shield and armor will be his truth. See, in this commentary it says that a shield protects his wearer on 3 sides incompletely, whereas armor, referring to a circle, referring to that bubble, covers you in every direction. You see, if you're facing that way, 360 degrees. I mean, come on now. You are protected. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can find you. I mean, you are in God's hands. And he is watching over you. He has opened the gates of heaven to bless you, to multiply you, to increase you, physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, at every turn. See, in this crazy mixed-up world, which is full of darkness, you and I can experience absolute protection. We can live a prosperous life, regardless of an unstable economy, regardless of terrorist threats or any other kind of threat, that's when we walk in truth and holiness, God will keep us covered. God has kept us covered. I'll close with this. Psalms 25, verse 21. The Living Bible again speaks out to us from the past into the present, here and now. It says, "Assign me godliness and integrity as my bodyguards, for I expect you to protect me." Let's take hold of that verse. Say with me, Father, assign me godliness and integrity as my bodyguard. For I expect you to protect me. Wow. Now that's yours. Now you can keep on saying it. You know what that does? That causes that other guy to flee. We're not even going to talk about him, but you know, he is on the run right now. He is on the run. See, walking in truth is your bodyguard. It gives God full license to bless you. It gives God full license to protect you. It gives God full license to keep your bubble intact. See, no matter what's going on in the world, you can dwell in that secret place. You can discover, as I have discovered, that living in the bubble of God's presence is the best place to be. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because God wants you in His bubble. God wants you in His bubble. You know, Psalm 91 is an awesome psalm. I love it. You know, I pray that over my kids, over my loved ones, over my friends, over my family, every single day. You know? And what do I say? We choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We choose to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We choose to say of the Lord, He is my rock, my fortress, my God, in whom we trust. For He is the one who delivers me from the snares of the enemy. And under the feathers of His wings, I am secure. I fear no arrow that flies by day, nor evil that comes at night. Oh, come on now, you know. I mean, what am I saying? I'm calling the blessing in. And you know what? Because I call it in, it comes. You know, I don't receive negatives. Now, there are some negatives that are positives. I'm talking about negative things. I don't receive negatives, you know. People start talking to me on negative things. I say, whoa. It's erased. It's erased. Oh, yeah, I got, it's erased. I don't want no part of that. None at all. You know? You know why? Because if somebody says something negative and I keep my mouth shut and I receive it, you know, I've taken possession. And then if I've taken possession, it's mine and I don't want it. So I gotta erase it. I gotta say, no, I'm not going there. I don't receive it. I don't care who it is. I really don't. I've gotten in trouble for that. But you know what? I will not change. Good. When I was sitting in staff meetings with my commanders and they would start to curse, I raised my hand. I said, what is it? I'm leaving. What do you mean you're leaving? If you're going to curse, I'm leaving. What do you mean? I said, I'm not here to hear your garbage. And if you continue to curse and you make me stay, I will report you. They thought I was a nut. You know what? Bible says that they feared me. You know why? I did that because I knew what the Bible says. The Bible says that they will fear me. Not really me, who is in me.
Yeah, amen.
My protector. My God. You see?